Welcome to a very special edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Luann Crane here, and our host is author, psychologist, and staunch defender of the preborn child, Dr. James Dobson.
And I'm Ryan Dobson. And Luann, you're right. The Dobsons are fiercely pro-life for a number of reasons. One of which is that my parents, Jim and Shirley Dobson, adopted me at 6 weeks of age. Mm. And so I'm also pro-life, being eternally grateful to the teenage mom who sacrificed and gave me life. But it's become even more personal as my wife, Laura, and I have struggled with infertility issues of our own.
Well, it's a heart-wrenching experience for both husbands and wives, mm-hmm. Ryan, as you've learned firsthand. We hear about this heartache from a lot of hurting couples, and that is why we'll be devoting the next 30 minutes to this topic. We are going to introduce you to one woman who agonized over her inability to become pregnant and learn how she dealt with that while strongly proclaiming her own deeply held pro-life views.
Her name is Marlene Strege, and she and her husband John were the very first couple to adopt and give birth through the Snowflakes Embryo Adoption Program.
And we'll hear a lot more about that opportunity as well as the role your dad played, Ryan, in the Strege's decision to adopt in the recording we're about to hear.
Well, it's very cool. Mm-hmm. Of course, an embryo is a tiny single-celled baby, and understandably, if people haven't heard about embryo adoption, it might seem a little bizarre at first, and to some, even controversial, but over the course of this broadcast, I think a case will be made that this really is a wonderful way to honor life.
Mm-hmm. Now, as I alluded to, for a number of years, John and Marlene Strege had tried to have a baby without success, but that's when God started to open some doors. So to give this conversation some background, we're going to go back a little bit. Pick up their story when your dad first met Marlene Strege in 1999, and I want to let listeners know right now, you will want to hang on all the way through because there are a few surprises along the way.
Mm-hmm. Well, to get us started, here is Marlene Strege with my dad, Dr. James Dobson, on this Family Talk broadcast.
How long had you wanted a baby before you began looking for other alternatives?
As long as I can remember.
Even when you were a little girl, you wanted
to be a mother. Absolutely. And so we started in with the infertility process with an infertility doctor.
How long did that go on?
From start to finish, it probably was about 10 months with the whole process.
Just one frustration after another.
Right, but it just continued to get more and more high-tech until we came to the point of them suggesting in vitro fertilization. Hmm. And I got a lump in my throat, and I just thought, knowing me, I will get pregnant the first time with quadruplets, and what will I do with all of these remaining embryos? So I had that fear from the beginning.
Obviously, there was the possibility, or at least you thought so initially, that you all could participate in in vitro fertilization with your own genetic material.
Right.
But that didn't work.
Right. We met with the doctor. He informed us that the test showed that we would not be able to have our own genetic child. And it just hit me like a ton of bricks. Mm-hmm. Because for me, it meant I would not be able to experience pregnancy. I would not be able to feel a baby's kick inside. Mm-hmm. I would not be able to experience even morning sickness or the downside, but just to feel a baby growing in me. I mean, I'd wanted to nurse a baby. I wanted to do all those things. And so I just was in tears because, everyone says, you can always adopt. But just that whole experience, I wasn't going to experience. Mm. I had listened to a broadcast a couple months before, and you had a wonderful call-in show on adoption. And I was actually on my way to one of my ultrasound appointments at that point, and I didn't get to hear the whole broadcast. So I called and asked for the tape. That tape came the night before, the day before the doctor told us.
Just at the right moment.
Right. And I think God was trying to open my heart towards adoption.
To a new
and
idea.
I always thought adoption was great, but I thought it was for other people. Mm. I didn't think I would be experiencing that. When we were considering in vitro and I was concerned about the unused embryos, I relayed this to a friend. And she said, well, maybe you could find another Christian couple who could take them. And I said, they're doing that now. And she just kind of shrugged her shoulders. So when the doctor told us we would not be able to have a child, I said, well, do you have any embryos we could adopt? Thinking back of my previous conversation with my friend. And he just kind of sat there and said, oh, you know what? I know a family who's had their children. They have remaining embryos. I'll call them up and see if they would like to do this. So that's how this whole idea of embryo adoption came to be.
All right. How did you find a doctor?
One of the staff members here knew of a doctor who might be willing to participate in this program. And we had to undergo several medical blood tests because they're introducing a body fluid into me. So yes. The genetic parents and us had to undergo several tests. As it turned out, we were identically matched. We're the same denomination. We're the same ethnic background. We're the same. I mean, I told the genetic mother, I said, it must be so comforting to you to know that this child's going to be raised in basically the same household as yours because we're so alike.
And you see the hand of the Lord in that, too, don't you?
It was just incredible.
You have two letters in front of you.
Right.
I wish you would read your letter to these genetic parents and their letter back.
Right. This is what's done in traditional adoptions. So this is the letter that we wrote to them once they chose us. Dear genetic parents, we want you to know that we've been praying for you virtually from the moment the idea of embryo adoption was conceived. We understand to a degree the anguish you surely feel over the future of your embryos. When we were pondering in vitro, we were concerned about the fate of the unused embryos, each a son or daughter, a brother or sister. We understand that these and other embryos around the world are wanted children, wanted by God, that each of them is His gift. One day when the time has come to share with them the remarkable beginnings, we will tell them that God let one family start them and another family complete them. God is good, isn't He? We have been considering what we might say to you and have concluded that this is what we would have needed to hear had we been in a similar situation. We will do everything in our power to lead these children to Jesus so that one day all of us will be rejoicing in heaven. That is our promise to you.
You are listening to Dr. James Dobson's special guest, Marlene Strege, here on this Family Talk broadcast. Understandably getting a bit choked up there, reading through the letter she wrote to the genetic parents who provided them with an embryo to adopt. Now, as we're learning, there are always two sides to this adoption story, and Marlene told us about another letter that was written, this one to Marlene and John, from the genetic parents. Let me share that with you here. They wrote, "Dear adoptive family, we are grateful to you for giving our embryos a chance to be born. We realize these children are only ours for a little while, but ultimately they are actually God's creation and God's children. With this commitment to Him, we relinquish our children who are now in a cryopreserved embryonic stage of development into God's care and into your loving arms. May God bless your beautiful family always, and may these children God brings into this world know we love them dearly. Most importantly, however, we ask that you bring them safely to the waters of holy baptism, that you teach them to love Jesus Christ and to trust Him as their only Lord and Savior. We would always love to meet you and your family in Christ's love." Let's return to the conversation now as Dr. Dobson specifically asked Marlene about this letter and the exchanges which occurred.
This is an emotional interchange on both sides, and it's amazing what has transpired. Did you cry when you got that letter?
Oh, yes, that's why I still cry when I hear it
today.
Many
times since then.
The embryos were out of state because this couple is out of state, and they had, I was willing to go to that state. I would have done anything. But as it turned out, they were Federal Expressed to our clinic, and I even had to give that up to God. You know, because I thought, you know, how your mail gets lost. I thought, you know, and I had this wonderful thought after I prayed that there was this guardian angel protecting this canister of liquid nitrogen with these 20 children. Infertility doctor said it was a textbook implantation. And that was the thing that was fun to see was their faces when they were looking at the ultrasound screen and to see the amazement on their faces of all this happening, too. And
was that the most exciting moment of your life?
It was, and especially when they turned up the monitor and you could hear the heartbeat. And I was only, just a few weeks pregnant and hear this swish, swish, swish of the heartbeat.
Oh, there is nothing like hearing that first heartbeat. This is Ryan Dobson back in our Family Talk studio, and you're actually going to meet little Hannah as a two-year-old in just a moment. But first, I imagine some of you are still wrestling through some of the ramifications of embryo adoptions, given what you've been hearing. So let's rejoin the conversation as my dad talks with Marlene Strege about the day they met and hear how she worked through some of those moral and ethical issues.
And that's what I came to you to ask you about the theological implications as well as from a child psychology point of view about taking those embryos and adopting them.
As I recall, we said on that day that neither of us was comfortable with the creation of life outside a husband and wife relationship. You and John had tried to have a baby for some period of time. And I guess the counselor suggested some alternatives to you. What
were the physician suggested that we use a donor egg and my husband's sperm, which would mean creating a life outside the marriage bond.
Yeah.
And we felt uncomfortable with that.
And so did I. But this was a different question. You were talking about taking an embryo that had already been fertilized and had been frozen.
Right.
So the decision to create that life was already there. And there are only two directions life can go at that point. It can be given an opportunity to grow in a mother's womb, or it can be destroyed.
Right.
And you were asking if it was morally right to accept that embryo and give it life. That's
right.
Really why you call me.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, really, the only thing medically that I would be adding to that embryo would be oxygen, nutrients, a warm place to grow, and love. And those are the same basic needs outside the womb. So we would just be adopting those children 9 months before you would normally, traditionally adopt.
Yeah, so it's just adoption at an earlier age.
Right.
That was the conclusion I drew. When I called you back, I said, I can't speak for God. I can only tell you what I think. I've talked to a minister, and we believe that to give that child life is a good thing,
right.
Not a bad thing.
Right.
Otherwise, it's going to die.
Right.
Or be destroyed down the road.
Yeah.
And you took that advice, and tell everybody what the result has been.
I gave birth to a beautiful baby girl on
little
December
Hannah.
31st, right? December 31st, 1998. She was born.
And she is here with you today.
She's here today.
The beautiful child. Talky. I mean, it's just incredible for people who think those little embryos are not life, that they are somehow inanimate objects or something that we can discard or kill.
Right. You know, and it's all your perspective. You know, when you look at those embryos under a microscope, no two are alike. They've all divided differently. And they're just like snowflakes. Frozen, unique, and never again to be recreated.
And that, is the name of a program that has developed called the
Snowflake Embryo Adoption Program.
Okay, Hannah, we've talked to your mom. Come on, you know what? Come over here and get on my lap, will you? Oh, yes. Oh, I'm so glad to see you. Do you pray to Jesus?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Does he ever talk to you?
Yeah.
Does he tell you that he loves you?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know he loves you, don't you?
Hannah, who do you pray for?
The snowflake.
Oh, you pray for the snowflakes?
Yeah.
That is neat. Do you have any friends?
Yeah.
What are your friends' name?
Daddy.
Oh, your daddy is your best friend.
What about Christian?
Christian by my friend.
How old are you, Hannah?
Two.
2 years old.
How old's Dr. Dobson?
Dr. Dobson, 3.
Oh, I'm 3. Hey, would you sing another song for me?
Okay.
How many songs can you sing?
3.
You got 3 songs? All right, sing another one for me.
Jesus, how did it turn? All my children are the root. It is a rock away. It is a Jesus, how did it turn? All the root. I love you, Johnson.
And you have been listening to the precious interaction between our host, Dr. James Dobson, and little 2.5-year-old Hannah Strege and her mother, Marlene. Ryan, that was recorded several years ago. And just listening to it again, it kind of chokes you up, doesn't it?
It really does, yeah. Especially having a little girl now. It's such a different experience.
The preciousness captured in her voice as we sat here and listened to that really touched all of us. The greatest surprise we have, though, right now is we have Hannah Strage right in front of us here, no longer 2.5. And Hannah has brought her mom, and they were passing through. Your dad was unavailable, and we snagged them and asked if we could stop into the studio just for a few minutes to get an update with
them. It's good to have you all here today. Hannah, how old are you now?
13.
So it's been 11 and a half years.
Yeah.
Do you remember that day?
Yeah.
You do?
Yeah.
You have that kind of a memory.
Yeah.
What do you remember from it?
Sitting on Dr. Dobson's lap and singing to him.
And right now you are sitting in Dr. Dobson's chair. So I tell you, you two have a very strong connection.
Yeah, we do.
My goodness. And Marlene, you're still involved heavily in this fight. Bring us up to date on where the whole Snowflake program is.
Right. Well, I just spoke to them yesterday, and they have had 311 children born, 22 are due. And perhaps to some people that might not sound like a huge amount, you know, in the last 13 years since Hannah. However, I want people to understand it's an incredible thing for an embryo to go through a freeze and a thaw. Only 50% survive a freeze and a thaw.
Wow.
So I checked with them and some numbers they have. They have, since Hannah, or including Hannah, have had 4,097 embryos placed for adoption. And of those, then the 311 have been born and 22 are due. So you see, they don't all survive the thaw. And then once they transfer them into your womb, not all of them attach. And then when you're pregnant, you have a regular pregnancy. So you have, you know, sometimes people miscarry and things like that. But we still have 311 that are born and 22 that are due.
And given those stats, Hannah, you are quite a little miracle we're sitting next to. You understand that, don't you?
Yeah.
I remember when the doctor did the ultrasound for me, my first one, to find out how many I was pregnant with because I had three transferred. And his mouth just dropped open, and I looked at him. I'm like, what's wrong? And he goes, no. He just goes, it's a textbook implantation. He said of all the places the embryo could implant in the womb, he goes, this is the most optimum. And I looked at him, I go, well, God doesn't do second best. Of course it's the most optimum, you know.
Goodness.
And we actually adopted 20 embryos. So Hannah was the only embryo that both survived the thaw and implanted in me, and then, you know, the 9 months of pregnancy. However, I do have to say the second Snowflake family adopted 4 embryos, and they gave birth to twins. And they have those wonderful stories at the adoption agency of people that have had one embryo that they place for adoption, and that embryo survives the thaw and implants, and they give birth.
Speak to that woman now who is in the same situation you were, infertile and unable to conceive.
Right.
What would you like her to hear?
Well, first and foremost, you got to pray about it and figure out where God has your baby. You know, just because we adopted an embryo and gave birth, that doesn't make me more of a mom than somebody that adopted maybe internationally or domestic or foster care, okay? So I always want to, you know, I always want to tell them that, that just because you don't give birth to your child doesn't mean that you're not equally a mom as I am, you know. So really pray about
it. My mom would agree with you.
Exactly. And so really pray about where God has your child and really do it. Really try to honor God in all of these decisions, because when you go into the infertility doctor's office, there's so many choices that you're being thrown at. And, you know, you got to have to really think about it and say, first and foremost, is this in the best interest of the child? Is this in the best interest of the child to create a child from donor egg, donor sperm, surrogate, whatever, you know, what's in the best interest of the child? And I have to tell you, there are waiting embryos. The adoption agency has so many waiting embryos that are just waiting for families to adopt them. So please, please, please contact Nightlight Christian Adoptions if you feel led to adopt embryos, because they're out there and they're just waiting for mommies and daddies.
If someone is interested in moving this direction, how do they go about it? Give us very quickly some of the stages you would go through.
Well, they could go to Nightlight Christian Adoptions. It's www.snowflakes.org on the internet. And they can help you with adoptions all across the country. For this. For instance, now there's 8 embryo adoption programs in the U.S. We participated anthropology study. We had anthropologists come to our home from Canada. And because of the results of that study, they also interviewed other snowflake families, but they now have embryo adoption in Quebec, Canada.
Mm.
This is just really catching on. Hannah's testimony was used in the Family Research Council brochure, and through that, that testimony was used before the Supreme Court justices in Brazil. Her testimony has been used with England and Australia Parliament. We participated in a documentary for Germany on this.
My goodness.
So this is just, you know, I always told Dr. Dobson, you know, hey, I just wanted a baby.
Yeah.
You know, I had no idea.
And you've changed
this,
the world.
This has just, you know, taken off.
How amazing.
You know, we testified before Congress, and because of that, President Bush had started federal grants to raise public awareness for embryo adoption. Currently, it was about $1.7 million a year that was offered in grants. And really, they've done a fabulous job to those people that have taken those grants. Nightlight Christian Adoptions is one of those. However, it has been taken out of the budget for 2013.
By our current administration.
Correct. But just to put that into perspective, number-wise, $1.7 million a year is really about 1 to 2 days worth of funding that Planned Parenthood gets.
1 to 2 days.
Yes.
Wow.
And actually, this was a great deal for the government because when you look at lives saved through embryo adoption, and our adoption agency had 311 born, but when you look at the 8 programs with donation and adoption programs, it's about 3,500 children that have been born through these programs. So when you look at that versus life saved through embryonic stem cell research, which is zero, and the number of dollars that has been poured into that.
And continues to be poured into it.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
California authorized $3 billion for embryonic stem cell research.
That was Prop 71 years ago. And I just read yesterday they're introducing legislation to for traffic violations to charge an extra dollar that would go towards embryonic stem cell research.
Well, this has so many ramifications. I mean, the political there and just the theological and the life-giving aspect of it. And I hope that listeners will get involved at some level.
Definitely.
Ryan, whether it's personally inviting a snowflake baby into their home,
right,
or all of us can go out and write a letter to the president and ask him to reinstate that federal funding.
Or share it with a friend who's struggling with infertility.
Absolutely. Or somebody that has embryos that doesn't know maybe what to do with them, they can certainly place them for adoption. Ryan, I just want to mention that, you know, we have another connection that you may not be aware of. Nightlight Christian Adoptions has been in business for about 53 years. They've changed their names 3 times, but they started out as Evangelical Welfare Agency.
And that's my agency.
That's so, Ryan, you and the Dobsons are a Nightlight family.
We are. Wow. Definitely.
And we are always so pleased when we get to meet another Nightlight family because we are a family.
Yeah.
And let me tell you, we have picnics, we have galas, and all of us with our children. If you want to get together with a bunch of people that are giddy about their children, whether it's being adopted internationally, domestically, or embryo adoption, come to one of our functions because it is such a fun time. And all of our kids know each other. And, you know, I think Hannah might have plans to adopt someday.
Really? What do you think about that, Hannah?
Yeah, I want a big family.
Really?
Yeah.
It's a good way to do it.
Hannah, thank you for stopping in today. You are a precious young woman.
Well, thank you.
And is there anything you would like to say to your mom and dad today before we step off? All that they have done for you, is there anything you would like to say to them?
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thanks for joining us. Thanks for stopping in on such a spontaneous note here. And you do that anytime you are in Colorado Springs.
For sure.
You knock on our door, and we will pull you up here and get an update.
Thank you, and we'll come back as soon as we can.
All right.
God bless.
Bye.
And again, for our listeners who want to learn more about the Snowflake Baby or Embryo Adoption Program, drjamesdobson.org is the place to get started.
And also there we'll have a link to information on how you can make your voice heard to the current administration on their decision to stop the funding for embryo adoption awareness.
And that's also the place you can request CDs of this program or get the link to this broadcast. I would really encourage you to share this message of hope with your family and friends. Again, it all starts at drjamesdobson.org, or if you prefer to call us for any reason, perhaps you would even like to partner with us financially in this ministry, you can do so by calling 877-732-6825. Again, 877-732-6825.
Neil, I'm thinking there have got to be a lot of people listening who struggled with this or who are currently struggling with this. We really want to be there to put an arm around them and to help in any way that we can. We can find a Christian counselor in your area.
That's right.
Again, you can call us for that or go online to drjamesdobson.org. Our number one last time, 877-732-6825.
And Ryan, for someone, it might even be as simple as picking up a copy of your dad's book, When God Doesn't Make Sense.
Oh, yeah.
That addresses a lot of issues on things we don't understand. Even your book, Ryan, called Wrecked, which you co-wrote with your good friend and colleague, Tobin Heim. I believe the subtitle of that is What God Can Do When Things Crash and Burn. I think that would relate to a lot of people right now. All of that available online at drjamesdobson.org.
Thanks for spending this part of your day with us, and we'll see you next time on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
It's America's foremost family authority on Facebook. For up-to-date program information and the latest articles and insights from psychologist and best-selling author Dr. James Dobson, go to your Facebook page and search for Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. Again, that's Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk on Facebook. Join the growing number of fans and like us today.